Good morning. I agree with what's been said so far this morning about stepping outside today is certainly a glimmer of hope at the end of the dark tunnel that has been our winter this year. And I think it's probably been, from people I've talked to the last couple of weeks, has been most difficult winter with any of us can remember for a long time. Today I'd like to draw your attention to a phrase in the English language. It gets used quite a bit that we're going to base our thoughts off of. And, you know, it's often said that the English language is one of the most confusing languages to learn if you learned and grew up somewhere else. The reason being that we're a accumulation of several different languages, the words that make up our speech, and so many words and so many phrases have more than one interpretation or one meaning or application. And this morning I'm going to write up here on the board a five-word sentence with at least six different meanings that I come up with and like to see what it brings to mind for you. That's a simple enough question. It's one that children usually ask at some point in life, asking mom and dad, where did I come from? Where did you come from? And so it's a basic question of life, and depending on whether you believe in Darwin or whether you believe in Christ, you'll answer that question either, well, I came from a monkey, son, or you will say, God gave me the breath of life and a soul for my body and made me in his image. So that is one way that that sentence can be applied and what its meaning is where did we come from? The second meaning is if I make a surprise appearance seemingly out of nowhere and scare the bejeebers out of you, you jump back and say with great emphasis on the where did you come from? Now, this is not the meaning that I want to spend time on today. So let's look at the third meaning. If I say or do something that makes me look or sound like an awkward hick, someone will make a country song about it, and they'll call me a country bumpkin, and they'll make $1 million off of it, and they'll proclaim, I've seen some sights, but man, you're something. Where'd you come from, country bumpkin? And if you don't believe me, I've got the CD at home, and you can listen to that song. Now, meaning number four is if I am late getting home after my father has set a curfew, and I get home and turn on the light to see Dad sitting at the table with his arms crossed, looking directly at you, and says, where have you been? Where did you come from? Now, none of these first four meanings are the things that I want to spend much time on today. So let's look at the last two. When we are struggling with life's issues and we're discouraged, a family member may remind you of your ancestors, your family makeup, and how they faced overwhelming trials and overcome great odds to endure their challenges, and that you can too. Encouraging you to persevere and not to give up because you come from better stock than that. Don't forget where you came from. You're better than that. But to get to the final way or the final meaning of this sentence, if you'd like to turn to Luke, the 17th chapter, we're going to read a short story about some people that will give us the final definition of where did you come from. In Luke 17th chapter, verses 12 through 19, we find a story that Christ gives about some lepers. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 that were cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And in this story, we have the final meaning that I would like to look at today of where did you come from? Don't forget where you came from. We have 10 men that had a disease that made them go into confinement, to be isolated, and only one of them, when he was healed of it, remembered the state that he was in before he received the blessing of the Lord's healing. So this is a point that I would like to remind us of today. Where did you come from? Who do you owe thanks to? These lepers should have all been grateful to the Lord for what he had done. But the human flaw we have within us oftentimes is we don't have the gratitude or remembrance of where we came from at times when we really should. And if you are here today, it's probably because someone helped you study to see what the Lord's will was for you and the way you should live your life. And they may have helped you overcome stumbling blocks that you had in your life. Maybe somebody has helped you with a job, finding a house. And all of us have had help growing up, learning the lessons of life. So we in the very least owe thanks to God that for whatever reason we are here, we have seen the light. That the past is where we're from. And reaching heaven is where we want to humbly be. 1 Peter the 5th chapter verse 5, it tells us that God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And Proverbs 6 chapter verse 17 tells us how the Lord hates a proud look. And so it is critical that we humble ourselves, no matter what the blessing degree is in our life, that we give God the glory for the blessings we have and not think that they are of ourselves. You know, the word doesn't have to be spoken for the Lord to know your thoughts. The Lord is watching and listening to our attitudes as well as to our speech. Just ask Moses. Moses spoke of words which irritated the Lord. He says, Hear ye rebels, must we fetch ye water out of this rock? Water came out of the rock, all right. But displeasure came out of the Lord. Now Moses was forgiven of this moment of shortcoming that he had where he failed to give God the glory. How many times in your life can you look back to where we failed to give God the glory for something that was good in our lives? But you know, Moses was forgiven, but there were consequences. He was able to look at the prize, but he wasn't able to receive it. And how difficult could that be after spending 40 years wandering around and not be able to receive the Canaan land? And when I worked at John Deere, there was guys in my department. I was an industrial plumber up there, and we all had our own toolboxes and our own workbenches. But most of the time, we were out in the factory working on things and didn't spend a lot of time right at our bench. And one of the fellows that I worked with named Marv, he had a sign on his box, and it read this way. I am lost. I have gone to find myself. Should I return before I get back, please ask me to stay. And it was a remark that oftentimes maybe we think about ourselves and the fact that we are puzzled with what to do in life and we feel we're only partly here, and the rest of us is somewhere else. And so I often say this about my sons while they're dating. They seem to only be partly on the job. And I better not say any more. When we are honest with ourselves, we can probably say that many of us spend much of our lives trying to find ourselves. I've had days when I should wear that sign around my neck because it's obvious I'm not all there. Until recently, my family had been very fortunate with reasonable health. None of us kids or our grandkids have had to deal with the death of a close relative in the family. Both my parents were into their 80s, and if you're a visitor here today, just so you know about some of the things I'm going to be talking about here, my father died in December after a struggle with a mental illness that he had. But Mom and Dad were always there. If you got a question on where a verse is in the Bible, just give them a call. You need firewood to make it through the rest of the winter? Give Dad a call. What are you doing on Sunday? Can you come over for Sunday dinner? Do you need a babysitter? Bring the boys up. We'll take care of them. And we lived just down the road for all the boys during at least a portion of their childhood, just lived down the road from Grandma. And oftentimes, if we needed to ride to church, we'd ride with Grandma and Grandpa. Needing more mushrooms, raspberries, sweet corn, strawberries, green beans? Well, if you can't come get them, we'll bring them down. And it is life-changing to see the man that is one of your rocks in life begin to crumble. The man you didn't dare consider challenging when you were growing up, now you have to challenge him because of some of the bad decisions that he's making. The poor choices, the danger that he's put himself, his wife, and others in because of changes going on in his life. He's not the same rock that you've known before, and he can't see it. There is not enough time to tell you the details in this lesson about Dad's brain disease and the hurt that it caused to him and to those around him. But the point is, the events of life wear on you and challenge you to remember where you came from. For years now, I could have wore that sign saying, "I am lost. I'm trying to find myself." What have you forgot that was taught to you growing up? And what in life have you allowed to harden your heart to where you aren't the same way you was as your mother and father brought you up? Has there been something that has made you forget your roots, where you came from, and what you were founded in? My mom used to say that if you want to have a friend or be a friend, you have to show yourself as being friendly. And when you're a shy, bashful kid on the farm lacking self-confidence, maybe that can be difficult at times. As life has worn on me, I oftentimes don't realize, just as Dad didn't realize, the change taking place in himself. And I start to think to myself, why aren't people friendly to me anymore? Have they changed or have I changed? When I was in high school, I used to be known all the time about having big dimples. And my wife always used to like to stick her finger in my dimples. And the other day she wanted to see my dimples, and I told them it was too cold of a winter, they're hibernating. And the point is, it doesn't matter what the struggles in life are. Yours are different than mine, but we all have them. And it is easy to forget where we come from. It is easy to forget how to smile. And it is easy to forget how to laugh. And I fear that I have oftentimes forgotten how to do that, especially around my sons. And I fear that I have shelled my efforts to make others laugh or to laugh myself. Stress in life can do that, but stress is only as strong as we allow it to be. And it's usually strongest when we try to confront our problems without God. My father and mother went through much tougher times on the farm trying to survive than I ever have. And yet they continued to smile and they continued to laugh all through my childhood. So why is it so hard for me to do the same? I guess we all have our own gremlins to deal with. When I started at John Deere, I never understood why people acted so distant. Because every place else I'd ever worked, I knew everyone. And people there didn't care whether they knew you or not. But work atmospheres can change you and they can change your personality. And by the time I left there after 6 years, I understood why people acted the way they did. Work atmospheres can change you. Bills can change you. Marriage problems can change you. Trying to live life without God first in your life will change you. What about you? Have you ever had days when everybody seems distant to you, or is it just me? Why does everybody avoid me? We keep waiting for them to come to us. When Mama told us, if you want to have a friend, you have to show yourself as being friendly. You have to make the first move. You have to speak the first word, and you may have to give the first smile. If I have allowed life to harden me too much, and I have seemed unapproachable to you, I'm sorry. Because I'm still lost in life. Still trying to find myself. Still trying to find my sense of humor and my smile on some days. And I've come to the conclusion recently that my perception of others, why didn't they do this or why didn't they say that? And if I pursue anything of these kind of problems gracefully to get answers, 90% of the time I find out that I had the wrong perception all along. It was me. So tell me about what you think about this. I told you that my boys all spent part of their childhood growing up down the road from Grandma. And the other day, Grandma told me that one or two of the boys, when they were younger, said, Grandma, my dad knows everything. And life was good. And I'm trying to figure out whether it was Steve Thompson or Mark Herman pulled these boys aside and told them, your dad just thinks he knows everything. And so my utopia was destroyed. At one point, I had my boys where I wanted them, and now I'm not sure where they're at. Am I imagining things, or could this have happened? Things change in life, even when we don't really want them to. Sometimes we like things to be a perfect world, but we know it won't stay that way. You know, I'm not sure where I'd be right now had I not married the woman that I did. She weathered the storms of our marriage when I was unhappy and difficult to deal with. And you know, we've been through a lot of the same storms, and she still has the little girl giggle and squeal when she's happy. She has a huge smile that got her the nickname back home in Missouri of the Queen of Callaway County. One of the old men at her home church had called her that when she grew up. And you know, she knows she's not perfect, and she maintains her humility. She's still the girl that my dad... When he'd see her, he'd say, "Hello, sunshine." So I guess I should be smiling. I've watched Ryan over the last 7 or 8 years be a mentor and a father to several little boys from the age of 4 to 10 years old that have no father or no father that wants them. So why should I grieve at my age when I finally lose my father, when these young boys start life without one? I guess I should be smiling. But you know, one of the things that Dad lost in life was a lot of his hearing. But he never lost his sense of humor or his desire to return one practical joke for another. And because of that reputation of returning whatever he received practical joke-wise, Cindy's husband, Mark, kept something a secret until Dad was dead. When he came up for the funeral, he told us a story about when he lived back here. Oftentimes, Mark and Cindy would go home on the weekends to Kansas City to see Mark's parents. And they just lived a mile across the field from Mom and Dad. And Mark thought it was safe now that he could tell this story without having any reprisals. And he says that one weekend they didn't get home till 1 o'clock in the morning. And so he decides that he wants to let my dad know he's back in town. So he pulls up into Dad's driveway and shines his bright headlights right into Dad's bedroom window, blows the horn, and then he yells out the door, "Vern, I'm back!" And then he takes off down the road as fast as he can go. And being 1 o'clock in the morning with Dad's bad hearing, Dad thought someone had just stopped and told him his cows were out. So Dad spent the next hour driving up and down the road trying to find his cows. And Mark had to keep that to himself all these years because he didn't trust any of us to keep it a secret. And he knew that Dad never got even, he always got ahead. So, but Dad dealt, when he was told about the disease that he had, he was crushed. And I was amazed at once when Dad got in the nursing home how well he, and the periods of time before that, he finally accepted it because he learned early enough what had happened. And so when Dad went to the nursing home, he was the hit with the nurses because he was not as far gone mentally as everybody else in his ward. And he was a cut up all the time. A little bit more so some days than what the nurses really appreciated. And But he became the king of the nursing home during the 4th of July parade. And even while lying in the hospital bed back in December, when he had the bad gallbladder, and the doctor came in and they were trying to decide, he had such a severe infection, it was risky operating. But the doctor came in to us with the family and told us, "We have to go ahead and operate now." And Dad unexpectedly tells him, "I'm your man." And the doctor was taken by surprise and didn't know for sure what to say. He says, "Well, I'm your doctor." And so Right up to the end, Dad always tried to find some way to lighten the moment. I have in my pocket something here. I don't know. Does anybody recognize what this is? It's a GPS device, ground positioning satellite. And this will turn this on, and it will tell you where you're at anywhere on the earth. It'll give you coordinates. And this is something that man has invented for people like me who are lost, that you can tell where you're at. So you can tell anywhere on earth where you're at, but that doesn't really solve all of our problems. You know, we use mirrors to show us what we look like on the outside, and we can make those kind of corrections. We have x-rays and MRIs and CAT scans to show us what we look on the inside. But, you know, none of these things can tell us when we feel hurt emotionally, where that hurt is at or what it looks like. None of these devices will show us, even when we tell them that our heart is being tore out. You know, the best thing that I got out of a Florida vacation was a church bulletin that I got down there about seashells and the creatures that live in seashells. And this poem started out, it says, "This frail old shell in which I dwell is growing old, I know full well, but I am not the shell." My father's been dead a couple of months now. His shell is cold. But he is not the shell. Will we find ourselves in time to be more than just a shell when the Lord finds us? The mirrors can show us our outside. GPS can tell us where we are in this world, but only the Bible can tell us where we ought to be. Hebrews, the second chapter, verses 2 and 3 tell us, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just and recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" I encourage you to examine yourselves before you leave today and before you spend a lot of time this week wondering what's wrong with those people. Maybe it's you. I know it's been me. And what a terrible day to stand before God and have Him repeat Daniel 5:27 to us, "Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting." Don't forget where you came from. Examine yourself now as we get ready to offer an invitation song. That if you need to make yourself right with God, you can take advantage of that opportunity as we stand and sing.